God's word is very clear. We're not to consult mediums or fortune tellers for guidance of any kind. That's what Saul did. He sought knowledge from the invisible world to help him fight the Philistines. That knowledge, however, came from the dark side, and God was not pleased. By asking the witch of Endor to show him what to do, Saul shows what happens when we disobey God's commands. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the invisible world, where battles are lost and won. Turn with us to 1 Samuel chapter 28 as Saul disobeys the Lord by consulting a medium for guidance.
10 long years, Saul refused to give up the kingdom. It was as if it was his and not God's. By the way, that's the way David differed. David had his great sins too. But David said, "Oh God, do as seems good in your sight." Saul never said those words. So he hangs on and he manipulates. He's going to keep the kingdom. And now Saul is in a hard place because the Philistines are amassing against him and he's desperate. And what does he say to his servants? He says, "Find a medium." God isn't talking. Verse 7. Saul said to his servants, "Seek out for me a woman who is a medium that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servants said, "Behold, there is a medium at Endor." This is known as the law of the grand exception. I put out all of the mediums in the land. You can't see any medium, but when I'm desperate, I can. Our politicians often do that. Religious leaders have been known to do that, to say about other people, "You can't do A, B, C, D," and then it comes out that they've been doing the very thing that they condemned in the lives of others. And this is Saul now in a moment of desperation. So now what we read is this. He disguises himself, put on other garments, and he went, and they came to the woman by night and said, "Divine for me by a spirit and bring up for me whomever I shall name to you." The woman said to him, "Surely you know what Saul has done." Saul, of course, is disguised. So she says, "You know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the necromancers from the land. Why then are you laying a trap for my life to bring about my death?" But Saul swears to her by the Lord, "As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing." Can you imagine the duplicity? He uses the name of God to swear in God's name that no harm will come to her, using God whenever it's convenient, but shutting God out whenever he doesn't want God's way and God's will. So the woman said to him, "How Saul put out the mediums and so forth, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you." Verse 11, then the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" He said, "Bring up Samuel." And now what happens is surreal. I don't know whether I've ever used that word before, but it sure fits here. This is very surreal. Listen. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me?" She now recognizes him. "You are Saul." The king said to her, "Don't be afraid. What do you see?" The woman said to Saul, "I see a God coming up out of the earth." He said to her, "What is his appearance?" And she said, "An old man is coming up, and he's wrapped in a robe." And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and paid homage. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" Saul answered, "I'm in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me, and he's not answering my prayers by prophets or dreams. Therefore, I summoned you to tell me what I should do." And Samuel said, "Why then do you ask, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy?" Now Samuel goes on and predicts the fact, and this is in verse 19, that the Philistines are going to come against you, and tomorrow you and your son shall be with me. That is to say, they'll be in the grave. The Lord will give the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. And Saul falls down terrified. And the prediction is fulfilled. What do we do with this passage? I never thought I would preach on it, but since I'm preaching about mediums, I decided since this is in God's Word, we have to look at what's happening here and what the lessons are that we should take home with us as a result of reading it. Some people have looked at this and they've said, you know, there's just no way that Samuel could have come up. Because after all, there's Samuel, he's with God, he's enjoying God's presence, and now you're telling me that this woman had the ability to bring up one of God's choice servants from the dead. Impossible. So what they've said is this was all demonic, that God gave Satan the ability to have this apparition that it looked like Samuel, but it wasn't really Samuel at all, and that's one possibility that commentators have suggested. But there's another possibility, and that is that it was indeed Samuel, and that's the one I take for a couple of reasons. First of all, when you read this account, you find time and time again it is Samuel who is speaking to Saul, Saul speaking to Samuel, and you get no hint here that this is just some kind of a demonic apparition. Furthermore, the devil would have never predicted what Samuel predicted, because the prediction is that you shall die tomorrow, and the devil is never that accurate and that specific in his predictions. And he certainly would not have given Saul a tongue lashing for leaving the living God. So I think that this was an incredible miracle. One pastor put it this way: are you telling me an old hag at Endor can raise up one of God's choice servants and bring him back from the dead? And the answer to that question is, of course, no. All the demons in hell put together could not do that. I think God intervened and did his own miracle. And is saying to Saul, Saul, because you are a fool, and by the way, Saul admitted that, he says, because you are so foolish and you are asking for Samuel, Samuel you shall get. But he's going to give you a message that you certainly don't want to hear, and it will be one more basis by which I can judge you. If there's any hope of repentance and submission, this is it. This is the closing call. After this, you die. What do you think God thought of Saul doing this? Was this something we can interpret and say, well, you know, it didn't turn out too badly. I mean, look at the fact that this miracle happened. You know, there's a divine commentary on this, and it is found actually in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 10. Listen to what the Bible says. So Saul died for his breach of faith. He broke faith with the Lord in that he did not keep the command of the Lord, and also consulted a medium seeking guidance. He did not seek guidance from the Lord, therefore the Lord put him to death and gave the kingdom to David. What does God think of consulting a medium or a channeler, as they are called today? What you find in the Old Testament is God is repeatedly saying, and he says this in Leviticus, if you go to a medium or you go to what we call today a channeler, I will turn my face against you. Think of the word there in chapter 18, verse 16. Have you ever heard something so terrible? Where Samuel is speaking and he's saying to Saul, Saul, God has become your enemy. You get into the occult, you seek hidden knowledge from other sources, and God becomes your enemy. What a sad state of affairs. Now I want to talk to you in a more contemporary way about going to mediums and calling up the dead, the channelers. There used to be a show on television, I don't know if it still is, where they used to have people come in whose loved one died, and then this channeler would connect with spirits, and eventually, and then the person would say, yeah, indeed, that is my uncle. You know, that's just like him. And then they'd go on to somebody else. What's happening there? What is happening there is this. These channelers have what we call a familiar spirit. who is familiar with the person who was alive, and therefore it is a demonic spirit impersonating the dead. Let me give you a good example. Back in 1966, Bishop Pike, who was an Episcopalian bishop, his son committed suicide. As a result of that, there was a poltergeist in their home. Pike would come home, and the curtains were pulled exactly the way in which his son wanted them. His boy's books would always be rearranged in accordance with the way in which the boy liked them. The clothes were being moved in the closet, etc. And Pike said to himself, "I think my son wants to connect with me." So, you know the story. Pike went to a medium. Years ago, I would never buy the book, but years ago, because of some research I was doing, I went into a library and I bought Pike's book. I should say I read Pike's book entitled The Other Side, and there he documents his experience. And you've heard me tell before how that when he was connecting with the boy, he said to him things like, "Do you ever hear about Jesus on the other side?" That's a good question, but the boy said, "No, Dad, we don't hear much about Jesus on the other side." From my heart to yours today, if you die and you're in a place where you don't hear a lot about Jesus, you are in deep, eternal trouble. But Pike was deceived. Oh, it's true, the medium knew things about the boy that only some supernatural agency could know it. There are mediums, channelers, who do connect with the spirit world, and they connect with people who, spirits that knew those people, and people are totally, completely deceived.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I certainly hope that you tune in next time for a continuation of this message and an explanation of what it is that I was actually talking about. The bottom line is that there are familiar spirits. These are demons who know people. And when those people die, and then you go to a witch or a channeler, she may indeed connect with some of these demons and therefore give you information that you think is coming from your loved one, but it isn't. What a deceptive world that we live in. And because people turn away from the scriptures, they oftentimes become very, very deceived. The message that you have just heard is actually part of a larger series entitled The Invisible World. And at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how it can be yours. But let me simply encourage you by saying that if we are a blessing to you, I hope that you let us know. Thanks in advance for the many who support us, you pray for us. Together we want to make a difference. We want to help people to run the race of life successfully all the way to the finish line. Thank you for helping us. God bless you. Hope to see you right here next time on Running to Win.
Thank you, Pastor Lutzer. You've heard Erwin Lutzer with more of Knowledge from the Dark Side, the third message in an 8-part series on The Invisible World. Tomorrow, the deceptions that can arise from some near-death experiences. These messages will make the invisible world very real to each of us. The entire series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the invisible world. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.